If I say to you, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, do you know what to do?
I was waiting for that. I didn't want to interrupt the beginning of the sermon. So I was real pleased that you brought that into the beginning of your sermon.
But yes, in many traditions, this included, when we say he is risen, you say back, he is risen indeed. So let's try it. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. Now, do you know what that means? And do you know what that means for us? What does it mean that Jesus is risen? He is indeed risen. That's a very miraculous thing, but we live very unmiraculous lives. So what does it mean that Jesus has been raised from death to life? What does it mean about the way that we live? How does it change the way that we think about the past and the present and the future? Well, we are going to look today at a verse that I kind of skimmed over while we were going through our Faith Basics series, because I wanted to save it for this morning. So join me in Romans chapter 6. We're going to spend our time in Romans chapter 6 this morning to answer that question. What are the implications for us that Jesus has died and risen again? What are the implications for us that Jesus is risen indeed? What I want to do this morning is read this whole passage to you, and then I'm going to unpack it after I've read the whole thing for you. So Romans 6. What then shall we say? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? In the previous chapters, Paul has said, you know, we are saved by grace through faith, not by our works. Should we go on sinning? No, of course not. Paul says, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized, those of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him in this death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that if our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has any hold over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to Christ. Now that's a very densely packed paragraph. In my mind, it's a bit like a ball of string that's very, very tightly wound, and you can see where the strings overlap and are caught underneath of one another. But it's all mixed together. So what I want to do this morning is pull out four threads to identify what Paul is saying for us here this morning. And I'll put it to you in one complete sentence. Jesus is risen. And so are we, to live for him now and with him forever. Jesus is risen, so are we, to live for him now and with him forever. That, I think, sums up what Paul has just said to us in Romans 6. So let's look at those four clauses and understand what I'm saying here this morning. So first, Jesus is risen. Good Friday ends on something of a cliffhanger, right? If Good Friday was an episode on Netflix, you would hit that next episode button real quick, right? Because you want to find out what it is that happens next. The disciples, though, did not have that luxury, right? They laid Jesus out in the tomb and walked away for a couple of days. And for all they knew, that may have been the end of their wonderful adventure with Jesus, in which case the creed would go, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, he was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. That almost feels like it could be the end of the story, doesn't it? It's not, though, because what comes next? On the third day, he rose again. Jesus died to pay for our sins on Good Friday, but then Easter Sunday, God brought him back to life again because he himself was not guilty, right? He didn't deserve to die. And so God brought Jesus back again to life. That's what Paul says in verse 4. Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father. The vast majority of commentators understand that to mean through the glorious working of God's power, the Father breathed new life into his Son the way that he breathed life into Adam way, way back at the beginning. And so Jesus triumphed over the grave. Just imagine there was a time on Easter Sunday when Jesus was laid out in the grave. And then early on Easter morning, God said, rise. And he rose from the dead. In doing that, he conquered death once and for all. He triumphed over death so that death can no longer lay claim to us. Look at verse 9. We know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. You know, death was, at one point, for us as human beings, the final frontier. Once you cross that line, there is no coming back. But then Jesus crossed the line and came back and erased the line. He paid for our sin, he put down death, and then Jesus conquered that once and for all, so that not only does death have no hold over Jesus, but over us too. That's why Paul says over in 1 Corinthians 15:5, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God, he gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is risen. But here's the thing. We are too. Look at Romans 6:1. Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Implicit in what Paul is saying here is the fact that when we turn from sin to trust in Jesus, we die. We die to the world. Verse 2, we died to sin. You know, we don't often think about that because clearly we are still living, but in a spiritual sense, we die when we follow Jesus. Paul expands on that in verse 6. He says, you know, we know that our old self was crucified with Jesus on the cross so that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we might no longer be slaves to sin. So from a spiritual point of view, when we die to self and to sin and trust in Jesus, we are truly dead to it. And only that, when we trust in Jesus and are baptized as a public way to declare that that is the case, we are united with him in death. Verse 3, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? It's like Paul expects us to understand this foundational reality that we should build our lives upon. Don't you know this is what happened? We went down under the water as if we were going into the grave with Jesus, with the anticipation that we will raise too. If we are united with him in his death, we will be united with him in his resurrection. That's verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. What's true for Jesus is true for us. Jesus died and was raised to life. We die spiritually and are raised to life. And Paul specifically says we are buried with him into death in order that we may live a new life. Right? We die to sin and are raised to life for the purpose of living a new life, a life that is different from the old one. And notice Paul isn't talking about the future here, right? He's talking about the here and now. He says, if you have trusted Jesus, then you have been raised to a new life. Jesus is risen, so are we. We have died to sin, to self, the old way of living, and God has brought us back to life, to live a brand new life. If you have made it your life's goal to follow Jesus, then you have died to that old way of living, and you are now living a brand new life, courtesy of God's power. Jesus is risen, and so are we. Now the question is, what are you going to do with that life? Are you going to live a life that reflects the new reality of life, or are you going to live the way that you used to? I read an interesting story in the last week or so about this couple in Michigan that ran an art program in prisons. And through their interactions with some of the inmates there, they met one man in particular who they thought had real artistic ability. And so they got to know him and gave him opportunities where they could. And then ultimately gave him the opportunity to show some artwork in a university art show. When his time for parole came up, the couple decided that they would vouch for him and speak for him and speak for his integrity. And so this inmate was granted his freedom. Now the question is, how will he live? Right? He can go back to the old way of living that put him into the prison. Or he could live a new way that reflects the freedom that his life now has. As it turns out, this couple, the man developed a rapid onset dementia, which left him nearly incapacitated. And this former prisoner moved in with them to become this man with dementia's caregiver. He would read to him and drive him around and give him sponge baths and clean him up afterwards. Something happened, right, in this man's life, and it changed him. He didn't want to go back to the old way of living, but instead lived in a way that was consistent with the new reality of his life. That's the way that it should work for us as believers too. Right? We are risen not to live again the way that we used to, but to live in a way that is consistent with the one who gave us life. And so, Jesus is risen, so are we to live for him now. You know, we often think about the resurrection as a future thing, and we will talk about that in a minute. But when we trust in Jesus, we have experienced a spiritual resurrection that sets us up to live in a new way for Jesus. Paul implies that in verse 10. The death he died, the death that Jesus died, he died once for all, but the life he lives for God. Jesus' inner life pointed away from sin and to God in everything, right? Everything that Jesus did was for the benefit of and the glory of God the Father. In the same way, Paul says, do that too. Verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Right? Consider who you were, who you are now. The lengths to which Jesus went to make a difference in your life, to set you free from sin and self, and say, sin, I am dead to you, and God, I live for you. That's why Paul asks those rhetorical questions at the beginning of chapter 6. Shall we go on sinning so grace may increase? Of course not. We should get on living the life of grace that God has given us. Jesus is risen, and so are we to live for him now and with him forever. You know, Jesus' resurrection doesn't just change the way that we live now. It has implications for the future. Remember verse 9? Death no longer has any hold on Jesus. When we walk with Jesus, it has no hold on us either. Paul says it twice in this passage. Verse 5, if we have been united with him in this death, in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. And again in verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Paul is talking about the future here. We will live with him. Because Jesus died and rose again, so too shall we rise when we trust in him. There will come a day when you and I are laid out in a grave, and then God will say, rise. And we will rise to never die again. We will rise into glorified bodies that were like the one that Jesus had after he came back to life on Easter Sunday, unhindered by the physical limitations that we know now. Death has no hold on us, and we will live with Jesus forever. That's why the resurrection is so important. We know that when we lose someone, the sting of death is there, right? It hurts to lose someone. And yet, as far as God is concerned, the sting of death is gone because it no longer holds sway over us. Death is not an eternal separation in the light of eternity. It's a momentary light affliction, right? It's a pause in the way that we live. It's a transformation from one glory, one degree of glory to the next. If we have died with Christ, then we will live with him. Jesus is risen, and so we are to live for him now and with him forever. Let's just take a minute and work that into our souls. First, Jesus is risen. Did you get that? A guy was dead, and he is alive now. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a Disney movie. This is a reality, a well-attested historical reality that the Son of God was indeed crucified on a cross, and then he came back to life again. That means that objectively, death cannot be the end for human beings. Death is not an unconquered territory for us. Jesus plunged into it, conquered it, and came back. Jesus, our Savior, is risen, and so are we. If you've trusted Jesus, then you are not the person that you used to be. You are a completely new person. It is as if you have died and been risen back to life again. That old self, the way that you used to live, is nailed to the cross. It is left there. You are raised to a new life with the Spirit of God in you. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead on Easter Sunday is alive in you. That is objectively true. So the question is, what are you doing with that? Living the way that you used to, unchanged by the grace of God, pursuing your own desires without any thought to what God might have for you? Or are you making God's priorities your priorities? Are you living in a way that reflects his character first and foremost, or the world's values? Live for him now, with the knowledge that you will live with him forever. And know that we face difficulties in our lives, but in Paul's mind, they are speed bumps on the road to heaven. Romans 8:18, Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Not even worth comparing. We will rise in glorified bodies, never to die again, all because of God's steadfast love for us. Let that give you confidence and courage every step of the way. I've I've officiated a lot of funerals in the last 7 years. And in many ways, my grandma's funeral a couple of months ago was one of the easiest. In other ways, it was one of the hardest, definitely. But in a sense, it was very easy because of Easter. Because Jesus is risen, I know that death is not the end. Because of the way that my grandma lived, I saw that she had died to sin and was living a new spirit-led, resurrected spiritually kind of life. There is no question in my mind that she was living for God. And so now there is no question in my mind that she will live with him forever. When those pieces come together, it's an easy funeral because it is nothing but good news. Live your life like that now. Let the resurrection of Jesus motivate you to live for him now, knowing that you have died to that old way. Old way of living, and may it give you confidence and courage in the road ahead. Jesus is risen. We are too. To live for him now and with him forever. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your resurrection. And thank you for our resurrection, Lord. It's so easy for us to think only of the fact that you are raised from the dead. We miss sometimes this fact too, that we are living a new life now because of what you have done. First, Lord, I pray that you would help us to appreciate the magnitude of your death for us and then your resurrection. May that inspire in us joy, hope, confidence, peace. Lord, come alongside us in the days and weeks ahead to help us to live this new life that you have given us. When sin comes a knock, and remind us that we are set free from that body of sin and that we have your power in us now to live for you. Lord, lead and direct us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we respond.